good song. Thankful for God's exceeding great and precious promises. Well, back just a few months ago when we gave Bibles to those who graduated this year, we had one young lady who didn't get her Bible because she hadn't been able to be here yet. And so I still have a Bible for Miranda. So Miranda, if you would come up here and I'll meet you halfway. There you go. You bet. God bless you. Again, today I want to ask for your prayers, and if you have your Bibles and Miranda, I know you have one, so if you would want to read along with me, turn to the second chapter of the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, and I want to read a fairly short lesson from this second chapter of Joel, reading verses 12 through 17. But before I read this, I want to give just a little bit of background so you'll know what led up to the scriptures that I want to read. Israel, they were being told that that the land was going to be overtaken by an army. But in this case, it wasn't an army of men, as many times the army of Israel faced battles with different armies. But this was not an army of men, but it was an army of locusts, and they were going to be told how that they were these locusts were going to move through in columns and in ranks, just like an army of men, soldiers, and they were going to just overtake and devour the land. And Joel, I believe, he looked at this as a judgment from God upon them. And you know, I believe that there's a lot of things that happen. I know that from things I've been told that not everybody feels this way, but I believe there's a lot of things that happen a lot of times that, you know, we just overlook them. We just maybe attribute those things to nature or something like that when actually God is displeased. And, you know, the Lord doesn't have to, you know, He really doesn't have to in order to punish any people. God doesn't have to send anything upon people. Sometimes He does that. But you know, if God just withholds His protection from us, we're in trouble. I mean, we're in big trouble. And so, as I said, I believe Joel looked at this as a judgment from God because of his displeasure with the people. But in verse 12 of Joel chapter 2, it says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. Who knoweth if He will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep, between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And with these verses, I want to speak today about that which God looks at. And I'm talking about when he looks at us, when he looks at people. What is it that God looks at? And in the first two verses that I read, it says, therefore also now saith the Lord. Okay, so this is what God was saying to Israel. Turn ye even to me with all your heart. So God is telling them to turn to him, and he's telling them how to turn to him. Turn to me, and when you turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now, God in this day, as he is still in our day, God's not looking for an outward show in the flesh. He's looking for people to turn unto him with all their heart. And, you know, I believe that, and I'm going to share another place in the scriptures that I believe will certainly prove this, but I don't believe that religion that is merely outward religion, it doesn't do anybody any good. It really doesn't. And God was telling them here, don't just do something in the flesh. Don't just do something outwardly. Don't just rend your garment, but turn unto me, rend your heart. Turn unto me with all of your heart. Turn to me with repentance. And that's something that comes from within, not from without. And if we look in Matthew chapter 23, and I want to share these verses with you to further prove what I'm saying here, because this is what Jesus really rebuked the Pharisees about for the way that they approach God and the way that they believe that they could have favor with God. They believed that all that was necessary was this outward religion. And in this chapter, the Lord Jesus really rebukes them for that. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, beginning with verse 25, in the words of Jesus, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Now, what he's talking to them about here is body and soul. He's saying, you know, you clean up the outside, the outward part, but within, it's not clean. It's full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now these things that Jesus said here in the long ago to these Pharisees, this is true today of anybody that doesn't have any change other than an outward change. And, you know, there are people that sometimes, there are people that they get tired of the way that they're living. They get tired of the things that they're doing, and they get tired of the way that they're living. And so what they do is they set out to self-reform. They set out to reform themselves. And they say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to stop doing this. And I know that this is something I should be doing, so I'm going to start doing this. But listen, all of the self-reform that a person can do will not ever change their heart. It won't ever change that which is within. And so what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees here, essentially, is that you have got everything backwards. All you are accomplishing is changing that which people see. And he compared it unto a whited sepulcher. Now, a sepulcher is a place where a body would be laid to rest, where somebody would be put to rest after they died. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're like unto a whited sepulcher. You're like something that people would come up and we think, if we think about in our day, if we think about a grave, and we think about how that it has a beautiful stone set there and maybe an inscription on there that says, good things about that person, maybe something they did or believed while they lived, and somebody has come out there and they've taken care of that, and they, the grass is cut and there's flowers all around it, and you walk up there and it appears beautiful. I mean, to the eye, that's something beautiful to look at, but we know what is within. We know what's in that grave. It's full of a body that's decomposing, and it wouldn't be pleasant to look at. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful unto men, but within you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And in the 28th verse, he said, you appear outwardly, you appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And so what needs to be done, rather than trying to just reform oneself and change that which is outwardly, it's not man that we're going to answer to anyway. No matter how beautiful that a person may appear to another person, or no matter how righteous that one person may appear to another person, we're not going to answer to each other anyway, but we are all going to give an account unto God. We're going to stand before him. And so the teaching of Christ here was, make sure that which is within has been changed. And if you want the outward man, if you want the outward part to be effective, affected and be what it ought to be, then let the inward part be made righteous and let it affect the outward part. That's the proper way. It starts within and comes out rather than starting without and going in, because what we do outwardly will never reach our heart. Only God is able to change that. And so, there again, Joel said, don't rend your heart. That's not what God's looking for. Lost friend, I'm going to tell you, that's not what God is looking for today from you, is for you to rend your garment, just for you to change the outward part. He's looking for you to give everything over to him and believe him with all your heart. In the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the Lord speaking to these same people again. He said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Now I would assume, and I believe it's a safe assumption, I would assume that these people were not real fond of Jesus addressing them that way. It seems that we have account after account in the New Testament of Jesus meeting these people and addressing them as hypocrites. But he was telling the truth. That's exactly what they were. And he addressed them in that way. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, he said, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And you know, I believe truly that anything that we do as God's people, there are many ways that these teachings apply, but I believe that whatever we do as God's people, if we're doing anything just to be seen of men, you know, Jesus condemned that type of religion. If we're doing anything to be seen of men, if we're doing anything that somebody might boast about us, or that we might boast about ourselves, if we're not serving the Lord from the heart, then we're not honoring him. And, you know, Jesus said, you honor me with your lips. Well, that's that outward showing that Joel was talking about. That's the rending of the garment that he was talking about. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Now, the heart of man is corrupted by sin. We know that. The Bible teaches us that very plainly, that we are, you know, that sin has a great inward effect upon us, and that when we reach that time in our life, when we realize that we're lost, we are lost within. That inward man becomes separated from God. We become lost inwardly. And that's the part that needs attention. That's the part that really needs help. That's the part that needs to be changed, because that's the part of us that is eternal, that's going to live forever. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, he said, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, who can? Who can know the heart? Only God. We can't see it. You know, you cannot look at me and see the inward man. And I can't look at you and see the inward man. But God can look at every one of us and see that. And he knows our hearts. And listen, today, that is so important. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that that is an extremely important fact, that God can see and he knows your heart. God knows exactly what's going on in that place where nobody but God is able to see. We misjudge things. We do. We misjudge things because of the fact that we cannot see what's inside. You probably remember reading in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel when God had rejected Saul as king. He was finished with him, and he was going to anoint the king that he had chosen, and that was David. And he had not revealed that unto Saul, but he sent him to the house of Jesse. He let Saul know that he was going to choose a king from among the sons of Jesse. And so he sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint the one that he had chosen king. And when Samuel got there, the first one he saw was the eldest brother of David, whose name was Eliab, and he was convinced, because of what he saw, he was convinced that Eliab was the one that God had chosen to be the king. But God told Samuel, he said, "Don't look upon his countenance or on the height of his stature. Don't judge that, you know, he is the one that I have chosen because of what he looks like outwardly. Don't look upon his countenance. Don't look upon the height of his stature and make that judgment, because," he said, "the Lord doesn't see as man sees. The Lord, man looks upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. That's what's important to you here today, that God can see your heart. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, when we begin to read about the fact that God was just so disgusted and so displeased with his creation, in the fifth chapter, or the fifth verse of the sixth chapter of Genesis, it talks about the fact that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and he saw that every imagination, not just their outward actions, but the Bible tells us that God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Do you know why that people today do wicked things in the flesh? Because they are wicked in their heart. Because they're corrupt inside. And that's what motivates the outward man. And so, the things that we see in the things that we see people do, the sins that we see committed in the flesh by the people of this world so often is because their hearts are wicked, they're deceitful, and they're wicked, and because of that, they do wicked things. You know, that's why it is so against the nature of a child of God to live like that. Because we've been changed. We've been changed inside. And, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it's just as natural for a child of God to do good works as it is for a child of the devil to do evil works. They flow; those things flow from that inward man that has been changed. And when we go against that and we do things that are not convenient and things that we shouldn't be doing, it's so out of the changed nature that we have for us to live that way. That's why the Bible asks the question there in Romans chapter 6, verse 2, how shall they that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When we do those things, we have reverted back to following after the ways of the old man. You know, we, at our very best, we're going to sin every day, aren't we? At the very best, we're going to make mistakes, so we don't need to just be giving in and just, you know, willingly doing things that we know are not right. God looked down upon his creation and he saw that they had evil hearts, that the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. You know, sometimes I said that we misjudge situations, and I believe that we do. We misjudge situations oftentimes because we can't see what's inside of a person. I believe there's a good example of that with Eli and Hannah. Hannah was praying that God would bless her with a son. She had not been able to have children, and it was really a burden to her that she was barren, and she was really seeking God and praying that God would bless her with a man-child. And, Eli, he saw her praying. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 13, it says, Hannah spake in her heart. I'm telling you, friends, that's where prayer really comes from. We oftentimes we pray and we hear each other vocally. We say words when we pray. But I'm telling you, if it's not coming from the heart, it's nothing but words. God's not looking for vain repetition when we pray. He's looking for a heart that's talking to him. Hannah spake in her heart. Did you know that you can talk in your heart? Well, obviously we can. Hannah did it. She spoke to God in her heart. And the Bible says only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Now here was Eli, and he was a priest, and he completely misunderstood the situation because he couldn't see her heart. He completely misunderstood and falsely accused her of what was happening there because all he could see was what he saw outwardly. And so here when he saw this woman speaking, her lips moving, but no words coming out, he accused her of being drunken. But she said, no, I'm not. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I have poured my soul out before the Lord. Lost friend, that's exactly what you need to do today. You need to just pour it out to God. And you know, I believe that we can make way too much of trying to make a distinction between heart and spirit and soul. What the Bible teaches us is that we are inward and we are outward. We are twofold. We are that which is without and we are that which is within. And the Bible there in that first chapter of Samuel, the Bible speaks about there the fact that Hannah spoke in her heart and she was stirred, troubled in her spirit, and she poured out her soul, and all of those were in reference to the fact that she was seeking God from the inside. You know what Paul said in his writing to the Romans? He said that it's with the heart, that man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you know what? You can speak with your mouth. People have done it. We've seen it happen through the years. You can stand before people and you can speak words and you can confess with your mouth. You can make a profession with your lips that you've been saved, but if it hasn't happened inside, your profession is false. It's false. No matter how many people may be convinced of it, if you haven't been changed inside, if the heart hasn't believed unto righteousness, then the confession made with the mouth is a false confession. But I'm going to tell you this, everybody that knows that they have been changed inside, everybody that knows that with their heart that they have believed unto righteousness ought to make that profession. Amen. You ought to confess and profess what God has done for you if you've been saved. The Bible tells us these things, and I'm not going to share all the verses with you. I want you to look it up for yourself. The Bible tells us that we are to seek the Lord with all of our heart. The Bible tells us that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart. The Bible tells us that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. You see, God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. He doesn't just want what's outward. He wants us to love him with our whole being. I'll tell you what, I'm of the belief that there have been a lot of people misled about what salvation truly is. Because somebody told them that if they would just you know, do what the Bible says, if they would just repeat this sinner's prayer, that they're saved. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, people do that, and no doubt the devil gives them a false hope. But I'm telling you, if your heart's not been changed, then you've not been saved. It doesn't make any difference what you've done outwardly. It doesn't make any difference what you are doing outwardly. It doesn't matter if you're a youth leader or youth minister or preacher or whatever that you call yourself. If your heart is not right with God, then you're not right with God. If you've not believed unto righteousness with the heart, that inward man, because that's what's sinful. Just like Jeremiah said, it's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. And if that inward man hasn't been changed, you don't have it. You can have all the outward religion that you can come up with until the end of your life, but you won't have a relationship with God based upon what you do outwardly. You must be changed within. It's exactly what he was telling the Pharisees. That's exactly what he meant when he said, you're like a whited sepulcher. You appear outwardly beautiful, but within you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Sometimes, you know, we see people on the altar. And believe me, I'm not trying to discourage anybody. If you want to come up here today and pray, you come up here and pray. But sometimes we see people on the altar and we judge their sincerity because they're weeping. But you know what? We don't know what's going on in their heart, do we? They may be up here, you know, somebody may be bowed up here, and they may be up here crying because of something that's happening in their life. And you know, listen, if it's worldly sorrow that you're upset about, that's not what's going to get you there. That godly sorrow is what leads you to repentance. I'm going to tell you something. You can be kneeling at a mourner's bench and your heart be miles and miles away from God. It's not what we do outwardly. It's what's taking place within. With the heart, we seek after the Lord. And with the heart, we find Him. And God never saves anybody until they seek Him with all their heart. That's the Bible. That's God's Word, and that'll stand when the world's on fire. All I know is this. The night that I got saved, by God's help, I was able to just give it all to the Lord. Pour it out to God. And He saved me. And you're going to have to do the same thing if you ever want to be saved. Let's stand and let's have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, turn to the Lord with all your heart.